Daf Mem Dalet. So we got to the last eight lines or so of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara is talking about the sheets of Shmuel, that if a person lends money and he takes a security in place of that, if the bank loses the security, so then he loses the entire loan. That's it. So the Gemara suggests now, last eight lines of the Amadir Lema Kitanai, let's suggest that the sheet of Shmuel, whether if a person loses security, does he lose the loan as well? That might be a machlokas tanai. What's a machlokas tanai? Hamal ves chaver al mashkon, a guy lends money and he takes the security in its place. The avad hamashkon, he loses the mashkon, yishba v'yital es ma'osav divrei Rabbi Eliezer. He doesn't lose it. He said, even though he loses the mashkon, he doesn't lose the ability to collect. He could still collect. He just needs to take a shvua and take a shvua that he's owed how much he's owed. But Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Rabbi Akiva argues and says, Yachal hu sheyomer lo klum halvisani ela al mashkon. Over the mashkon, of du ma'osecha. Rabbi Akiva holds like Shita Shmuel. Really, Shmuel holds like Shita's Rabbi Akiva. You lose the mashkon, you lose the halva, there's no collecting. So it seems to be a very mefurish machlokas tanayim where the Shmuel is correct. The Brisa just concludes here, Aval hamalva elef zuz bishtar v'niach mashkon biyado divriya kol over the mashkon of du ma'osav. If a person, let's say, lent 1,000 zuz with a shtar as well, and also mashkon, and then he loses both of them, in that case, certainly, it's going to, he can't collect. We'll see why that is in a second within Shitas Rashi. But let's understand what's going on. So the Gemara says, hey, Chidami, what's the scenario here? E de shav yashir zuze, if it's true that the mashkon was exactly the same amount of the loan. So my time at the Rabbi Eliezer, why would Rabbi Eliezer allow him to collect anything? I mean, if I lent the guy $1,000 and he gave me a watch worth $1,000, if I lost his watch, so now we just break even. We just, everything, wash each other out. So that certainly is nothing to pay. We're only talking about a case where the mashkon doesn't equal. I borrowed and I'm watching a $50 watch for the security. So then I would have to pay, rather I could still collect the remaining $950. So it's certainly not a case where the mashkon, where the security equals the outstanding loan. Ella, lav bidilo shav yashir zuze. It must be that the security does not equal the value of the loan. Ubidishmuel kamiflagi, and they're arguing about Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva holds like Shmuel. You lose a $50 security, you lose a $1,000 loan. But Rabbi Eliezer holds, no. You lose a $50 security, you just detract that, you subtract that from the outstanding loan, you could collect the remaining $950. So it's a clear machlokas tonight. Gemara says, not true. Lo. Bidilo shavi chuliyama lesle bidishmuel. When it's a situation where the mashkon does not equal the value, everyone doesn't hold. In other words, no one holds Shmuel. V'hacha b'dishavi shir zuze. We're meaning Shmuel is completely off the radar now. We're talking about where the mashkon is exactly worth the loan. So what's going on here? And it's a machlokes b'direbi Yitzchak kamiflagi. How does this work out exactly? The Gemara says, how do we know a balchov, a bank that collects a security? He owns it. Shinemar l'chot yet tzedakah, that you should give tzedakah. What's a tzedakah? So the Gemara, the prosit describes, if let's say you took the pajamas, the nightgown of something, the one you're borrowing, lending to as a security, give back to them at nighttime so they have something to sleep in. Or you took their daytime clothing, return it back to them so they have something to wear during the daytime, and then collect it back at nighttime. But you always have to return it back so they have something to, some dignity to walk around in the proper clothing, something proper to sleep in. So how could it be? Im eino kon imashkon tzedakah minayin lo. If you don't own the mashkon, that's not called a tzedakah. Giving away someone's pajamas back to them, that's not tzedakah. Tzedakah, we'll look in Tosis in just a second, is only when you're actually losing something. You're giving something that you own. So we see from here that imenu kon imashkon tzedakah minayin lo mikan lebalchov shekon imashkon. We're going to put everything together in just a moment here. But it must be that the balchov who takes his security owns that security. He owns that mashkon. And when he returns it back for the guy to have something to wear during the daytime or to have something to wear at nighttime, that's considered tzedakah. He's giving something up of himself. So just look at the one line of Tosos here. We're going to put everything together, hopefully. Tosos writes, tzedakah minayin, delo mikre tzedakah elim kein mechaser mamon. It's only called tzedakah if you lose something. I mean, the Ritva says, isn't the fact that I'm giving him a loan, forget the mashkon, I'm lending him money, isn't that considered tzedakah? Isn't that the best form of tzedakah? So what the Ritva says is no. That's called gemilas chasadim. That's a nice thing, but you're getting that money back in the end of the day. That's not considered chisar mamon. When you give something up of yours, when you're losing something, that is considered tzedakah. So it's only tzedakah if you own the mashkon, then you're giving the mashkon up for having them to wear something during the daytime. And there is a big shaila in the Rishonim. When I own this mashkon, am I responsible for afilu onsim? If I'm watching your mashkon and it's gneva vaveda, so then everyone agrees I'm responsible. I need to pay back that mashkon. But let's say onsim, let's say something crazy. There's an earthquake, there's a tornado, there's a hurricane, and I lose it through davar onsim. Am I chayiv or not? So look what the Tosas writes here. Tosas writes, Dibra mashkon mikan shlebal chov shekone mashkon, nira de'ein mischayiv be'onsim. You're not chayiv in onsim, el avi kishomer sachar. Vishomer Sachar, where you're watching the object. So I own the object to a certain extent. I just have to be clear here. You don't really own the object. I own the object until they pay back the money, then I return it. So I temporarily own it, but to what level do I own it? So it's not owning that I can do whatever I want with it. Because if I do whatever I want with it, I'm never responsible for the Gneva Vaveda. There's such a concept that's Kinyanim, even though you don't have full ownership. Aganav. Aganav or Gazlan steal something. There's something called Kinyane Gazela. I could own something against your will by stealing it. Yes, there's some level of kinyanim acquisition that takes place, even though it's not a full bona fide kinyan. So when I take your mashkon, I have a certain level of ownership to it. I have the right to hold on to it. You can't take it back. But at the same time, I have some level of responsibility for it as well. So everyone agrees again, I'm chai for gneva v'aveda. But if something onus happens, Tosis says, I'm pater. I'm a regular shomer sachar. Rashi writes in many places that I'm actually chai v'afilu v'onsin. If a hurricane comes, I'm responsible to repay back the mashkon. Why is that fair? I lent the guy money. So said the Achronim, but since I have the hana, I'm allowed to use the mashkon, I have a din of a shoel, not a din of a shomer sachar. You lend me something, all the hana is to me. You're not getting anything. You lend me your car for the day. So I'm not paying for the car. It was very nice you did to me. So if I get into an accident, the other guy hits me, I didn't do anything wrong. It's onus. So the guy came running at my car. I'm onus. I'm responsible since all the hana is to me. So here as well, says Rashi, when it comes to mashkon, I use it until you pay back the money. I'm like a shoel, which is chayv afilu be'onsin. Now how does this all connect though? We're trying to bring this together. How does Rabbi Yitzchak, remember we start off with saying that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if you lose a mashkon, the malva takes a shvua to how much you owe me. Rabbi Akiva says if you lose the mashkon, you lose the loan. And the Gemara says we're talking about Shitas Rabbi Yitzchak. How does that fit in? So look at Rashi. See Rashi, Idelo Shavi Shir Zuzei Chulia Malesle Dishmuel, Uber the Rabbi Yitzchak Kamiflagi. Rabbi Eliezer Lesle the Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold a Rabbi Yitzchak, meaning what? You don't own the object. When you give me collateral, when you go to, let's say, the bowling alley, you give your shoes as the security, they don't own that shoe there. It's just to make sure, as a zichron ba'alma, to remind you to pay back. But there's no ownership going on there. And therefore, if you lose it, I never took it as payment. You think when they put my shoe in there, the bowling alley doesn't take that as payment for using their bowling shoes. It's just a reminder so you know when you're walking out, you're not walking on the bowling shoes. These are not my shoes. It just reminds you to do this. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, I never acquire the mashkon. So if I lose the mashkon, it was never really mine. It was really zichron ba'alma, so you remember to pay back the loan because you're missing your watch. And if I lose it, I am still allowed to collect on the outstanding loan. But according to the other opinion, according to Rabbi Akiva, when you gave me that mashkon, it was actually a form of payment. It was like saying, if I don't pay the money, you can hold on to my $1,000 watch. So therefore, that was a form of payment. If I lose the watch, I lose the ability, because I'm kone the watch, I lose the ability to connect it, to collect it rather. So again, the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, whether you could collect the loan when you lose the object, the mashkon or not, depends on whether you hold a Rabbi Yitzchak. When you take the mashkon, do you acquire it? And therefore, if you lose it, you don't collect the loan, or maybe you don't acquire the mashkon, in which case, if you lose the mashkon, you are allowed to continue to collect from the outstanding loan. Is that clear? Okay. Gemara now says, Lema de Rabbi Yitzchak Tanahi. Let's say maybe Rabbi Yitzchak is really a machlokas tanaim, the ability that we say when the malva takes the mashkon, whether or not he acquires the object. There's interesting mincha shlomo just for a second here. We know when a person borrows something, when you borrow money, there's an Indian brought down in poskim that you're not supposed to say thank you at any point during that period to level of ribbis. Thanking is like paying a schar to him. So there's been a practice, you say to a person, tzitzkula mitzvahs. When you give the guy a loan, tzitzkula mitzvahs. So Rav Shlomo Zalman points out, that's actually worse than saying thank you, because giving him a bracha now, that's really giving him extra schar. Saying thank you is a nice thing. It's a proper thing to do. The guy gives you a loan, imagine the guy just walks away and doesn't say thank you. Thank you is normal. That's more permitted. But to give the guy bracha, now that's giving a schar. That's paying rivets to the guy. That he finds to be more problematic when the guy gives a tzedakah of lending you a loan. Interesting thing they talk about in the back here. Okay. Gemara now says, Lema the Rabbi Yitzchak Tanai. This concept of Rabbi Yitzchak, again, that a person who takes a mashkon acquires that mashkon, let's suggest it's really machlokas tanaimi. Is that really true? Could you really say it's a machlokas tanaimi between Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Elazar, and Yaakov? The tizvara, does that really make sense? Eimer de Amr Rabbi Yitzchak shemashkano shelo b'shas halva. I could understand Shitas Rabbi Yitzchak that you acquire the mashkon when you take the mashkon shelo b'shas halva. Meaning January 1st we made a loan, I lent you money, and I never took out a security. 2 months later, I'm still waiting for the money, I go ahead and take the security from you. That I can understand is a form of a kinyan. I don't trust you anymore. It's a form of payment. 2 months go by, you never pay me back. So there, I would acquire the mashkon if it came shelo b'shas hava. Look what Rashi says here. Rashi says, Eimer da'amer Rabbi Yitzchak shemashkano shelo b'shas hava, kigon aide bezdin, t'bahachi mishtai kra. The pasuk sounds that way. The whole discussion of l'chotziyat tzedakah, Rashi points out, is all the situation of Bezdin. It's talking about Bezdin collects the mashkon. So if Bezdin goes ahead and collects the mashkon, shelo b'shas halva, I'm taking it as a form of payment. It's 2 months after I lent you the money. So that I can understand why you kona, you acquire the mashkon. But the Gemara asks, if it's b'shas halva, are you going to say if it happened during Shas Hava, when we made the initial loan and you gave me security, are you going to say that even there Rabbi Yitzchak says that you're going to be koneh the mashkon? The only reason why the guy gives you security when he lends money is as a zichron b'alma, not a form of payment. When you borrow money, you don't pay the bank away. You want to use the money. So why would you leave a watch there? As a zichron b'alma, so that I remember the loan, that you remember the loan, but it's not a form of payment. If it's not a form of payment, then you wouldn't say, Rabbi Yitzchak Shita, that you're kone mashkono. So it's very hard to say that their Tanaim are arguing about Shita's Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara now tweaks it and says as follows. Ela mashkono shelo b'shas havasa kulama delo pligi de isle de Rabbi Yitzchak. When the Lova gives a security, not at Shas Hava, but a couple months afterwards, so it sounds like it's a form of payment, there everybody holds a Rabbi Yitzchak that the Malva is Kone the Mashkon, and he returns it back whenever he needs it, L'chaltiyat Tzedakah. V'hacha, here our whole discussion is, B'mashkono b'shas halvasa u'b'shomer aveda k'mithlagi. It's talking about a situation where you gave the Mashkon right at the beginning, right when we made the loan, I gave you a Mashkon to remember what was going on. So now the question becomes, the Malva who's now watching over this Mashkon, the bank doesn't need an extra headache. I'm doing a favor for you. But also, I don't trust you entirely, so I want to hold on to the watch. But there's a certain responsibility the bank has now by watching over that watch, which is simply he's now a Shomer Aveda. So what's the din of a Shomer Aveda? So the Gemara explains here, Rab Amar K'Shomer Chinam, he's like a Shomer Chinam, and therefore, because I'm not getting paid for this, and Rav Yosef Omer K'Shomer Sachar. Dami. What's going on, Shomer Sachar, Dami? So Rashi explains on the top line of Mem Dalam Abeiz, K'Shomer Sachar, Dami, Schar Mitzvah, Umalva Mashkon Nami Mitzvah Avid. Why are you Shomer Sachar? I'm not getting paid. I did a favor for you. I gave you $1,000. So now I'm watching your object, your security. I'm a Shomer Sachar. A Shomer Sachar is more responsible than a Shomer Chinam. A Shomer Chinam, if I'm free, I'm doing you a favor by watching your watch. Watch is bad. I keep saying watch. If I'm watching your scarf, let's say, as a security. So me watching your scarf, I'm doing you a tova. So I'm a Shomer Chinam. And anything happens to it, I'm pater, unless I'm poshe, unless I leave the door open and let the guy walk in. If a guy tunnels through my house, comes through my window as a ganav, or I lose it, I'm not responsible. I'm a shomer chinam. Rav Yosef says, no, I'm a shomer sachar. I'm like a hired worker. How am I a hired worker? I'm not getting paid to watch your scar for you. I lend you money. You're not giving me any money. How am I a shomer sachar? Says Rashi, I'm a shomer sachar because I'm getting the schar of the mitzvah. When you lend money to someone, that's a chesed, that's a mitzvah. So I'm watching your object while getting rewarded of lending you money. That gives me a din of a shomer sachar. So what's halacha now? So now we're going back to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Remember that whole discussion we started off with. If you lose the mashkon, are you allowed to collect the money or not? So according to Rabbi Yosef, who holds I'm a shomer sachar, I'm a paid worker because I'm getting a mitzvah, a schar mitzvah, so shomer sachar is liable on the aveda. If I lose the mashkon, I cannot collect the funds anymore. That's shita Rabbi Kiva. Avod a mashkon, avod halva. But according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he holds like Rabba. I'm a shomer chinam. I did you the tova. I'm not getting paid to watch your scarf here. If I lose your $1,000 scarf, I'm allowed to still collect the outstanding $1,000 loan because I'm a shomer chinam. A shomer chinam is pater from aveda. It gets lost. All right, I'm sorry. I'm a shomer chinam. I can still collect my money. So again, the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer is all about the status of a shomer aveda. Is he a shomer sachar or is he a shomer chinam?
Isn't a shomer chinam always doing a mitzvah for somebody? So wouldn't that always negate the whole concept of a shomer chinam anyway?
Because he's getting a schar. By me watching you, isn't that itself a mitzvah?
Yeah, and schar mitzvah. It's collateral, just in general.
It's an interesting question. I guess we don't have a concept. There's no mitzvah that says, watch someone's object for you. As opposed to halva, there's a pasuk that says you should lend people money when they need it. So even though it's a nice thing, it might be general chesed, it's not specific enough, I guess, to give shomer sachar. I guess, great question, but I'm not sure. Okay. Gemara now says, Lema, so now let's suggest Lema that Rav Yosef Tanahi. The idea of Rav Yosef who holds that it's a person who watches shomer avedah is like a shomer sachar. So then, let's say that's a machlokas tanaim. So the Gemara said, you can really say that? It's a machlokas tanaim? Lo. B'shomer aveda, when a guy's watching an aveda, chuyama isle Rav Yosef. Everyone agrees like Rav Yosef in the world of aveda. If I picked up a lost glove, a lost scarf, I'm watching it till I find the right owner. Everyone agrees that you're like shomer sacha, like Rav Yosef, because I'm involved in a mitzvah, I'm getting schar mitzvah, and if I lose the aveda, I'm actually going to be liable. Hacha, but here our discussion isn't about an object that I found. It's not a mitzia. Hacha b'milva tzarech l'mashkon k'mifki. We're talking about a loan which has a mashkon attached to it. We'll look at Rashi and Tosfos in just a second what that means here. K'mifki. Mar saver mitzvah kavid, mar saver lav k'mitzvah kavid. When I lend money, that's a mitzvah. But let's say I lend money, but I require you to give me a security in its place that I could use. Is that a mitzvah anymore? I'm using something. So look how Rashi says this. Tzarech l'mashkon l'shamish bo. Where I lend you money, but I require you to give me an object. Give me your scarf so I can wear it in the summer, in the winter. U'minake lo minachov d'mei schiris hamashkon. So since I'm using your mashkon, I detract it from the amount of the outstanding loan. So Rabbi Eliezer savar kevin de tzarech l'mashkon ein kai mitzvah. Since I'm requiring a mashkon, for me to lend money, I'm not doing a tova. I want to get something out of this. So since I'm using an object as well, the mashkon, ulahanaso niskave, I'm having intent for my own personal benefit, have a kishomer chinam. But according to Rabbi Akiva Savar, kevin de poches alava holech mitzvahi, flahavi alava, ela kishomer sachar. No. Since I'm using it, but by me using your object, I'm actually subtracting from the loan, so I'm losing money from that, I'm paying for it. So that's not considered as if I'm undermining the mitzvah. It is still considered a mitzvah. So again, what they're pointing out here is, when you lend money, you're vade considered a shomer sachar because I'm getting schar mitzvah. When you lend money for the purpose of using its mashkon, that's the debate. Do I lose the status of a mitzvah anymore? It's no longer considered schar mitzvah, and now it becomes a shomer chinam. And if I lose the object, the mashkon, I'm not responsible for losing it as a shomer chinam. I could still collect from the loan. Or no, do we say that if I use the tzarech l'mashkon, it's still considered a mitzvah since I lent you money, and therefore a shomer sachar. If I'm a shomer sachar, if I lose the object, I'm liable. I lose the mashkon, the mela, I lose the ability to collect from the loan as well.
Would it make a difference if the thing you're taking security is less than the amount that you're giving?
Yeah, so our whole discussion, I think, is still going with that they're equal with each other. Before we suggested if they are unequal, if the mashkon was less than that, that was the previous discussion where everyone agreed that, where was that point? That was earlier in this right here, Shmuel. Everyone agreed that we don't hold the Shmuel, which means that was only a zichron ba'alma, meaning you would not lose the ability. You would still be able to collect the outstanding loan. Only when you have the exact trade. Now it's like a trade. In fact, if I lose my mashkon, then I lose the loan. Gemara now says lema ketanai. The Brisa says, let's say this is machlokas tanayim. Hamal veschaver al mashkon. A guy lends money. We're going back now to Shmuel. Shmuel says if you lose the mashkon, you lose the ability to collect the fund, the loan. Let's say it's a machlokas tanayim. Hamal veschaver al mashkon. I lend money to you, but I took out the security. The nichnasa shmita, and shmita comes in. So with the halach of shmita's ksafim, the shmita knocks out all loans. But if there's a mashkon there, the mashkon could circumvent shmita's ksafim. So afa pi she'ena shava ella palga, even though the mashkon is only worth half of the loan, ena mashamet, it's able to protect the entire loan. So let's say I have an outstanding loan to collect $1,000. If I have a security of a $500 watch, so now you might think that watch could only save $500 of the loan. We learn here it saves the entire loan. That's Divrei Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi Omer im haya mashkon keneged chovo ein mashamet vivlav mashamet. If the watch is equal to the entire outstanding loan, $1,000 or $1,000, so then you protect the entire loan. But if it's not worth it, so then it doesn't protect the loan. Sounds like Shmita's Ksavin would kick in and knock out the entire loan. So Gemara needs to explain what's going on here. So Gemara says, my Ein Mashamet, what do you mean Ein Mashamet, that's not Mashamet at all? The Kamar Tanakama. When the Tanakama said that if you have a security, it's not Mashamet any of the loan, Ilema Kinegdo, if it means that it's not Mashamet the value of the watch, meaning only $500 of the worth of the watch is not Mashamet, but the other $500 above the value of the watch, it would be Mashamet. Mechlal, does that imply the Rabbi Huda Hanasi Savar Kineged Nami Mashamet? That would he also say that Rabbi Huda, look at Rashi, Mechlal the Rabbi Yehuda the Poligale, Rabbi Yehuda argues on Tanakama, Damar im ein mashkon kineged chovo mishamet, a kinegdo nami mishamet. If Rabbi Yehuda holds, if there is no mashkon, if the mashkon doesn't equal the value, it's mishamet, the value kineged it, the afilu hahu palga de kinegdo lo chashiv mashkon u mishamet le shvius. It sounds like according to Rabbi Yehuda then, if my mashkon does not equal the entire loan, everything's mashamet, the entire thing. So ella amai taveis mashkon. So then, in essence, holding on to mashkon doesn't have any effect. If Rabbi Yehuda holds, the only time a mashkon protects shmita's kafim is if the mashkon equals the loan. But any time it's less than the loan, it's not going to help. So why would a person ever taveis mashkon for Rabbi Yehuda? It doesn't help anything. Ella it must be lav kineged kulo ubedishmuel. It must be talking about a situation. If you look at Rashi, Elav Kineged Kulo, Kamar, Tanakama, Ein Mashamet, the Alpha Pish, Ein Shava Ela Palgi, even though the watch is only worth $500, Have a Mashkon Kineged Kulo, it still is considered a security to protect the entire $1,000 loan. Vein Mashamet Klum Nachova, nothing gets erased from Shmita Ksafim by Nu Kishmuel. That's Shmuel who holds that way. As long as you hold on to the security, you could collect. If you don't hold on to security, Shmuel holds you can collect. The Asir of Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi comes along and says, "Lameimar dim ein mashkon keneged havaso." If the watch doesn't equal the entire loan, ein mashamet kulo ela kenegdo. He holds that no, it only protects the worth of it. So again, I'm talking about $1,000 loan, $500 watch. So Rabbi, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that watch protects the entire loan. Rabbi Yehuda holds it protects only that part of the loan that the watch is worth. But we see from here that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he holds like Shmuel. If you lose the $500 watch, then you lose the entire amount of the loan. Rabbi Huda holds, you only lose part of the loan, not the entire loan. That's the initial suggestion. And the Gemara says, no, lo. Liolam kinegdo. Really, they're talking about kinegdo, that Rabbi Shimon holds that if you have the watch, it only protects that amount of the loan from Shmita's Ksafim, and he doesn't hold the Shmuel at all. And Rabbi Huda argues and says, no, that's not considered a mashkon at all. If the mashkon doesn't value the same as the loan, that's not called the mashkon. So the Gemara says, Tanakama Savar Kinegdo, Rabbi Huda Hanasi Savar Kinegdo Nami Mashamet. The watch won't even protect the $500 of the loan. It's either all or nothing. Ah, so the Ka'amris, you said, Lamai Tafas Le Mashkon. So then, according to Rabbi Huda, if a mashkon is not going to protect a loan from Shmita's Ksafim, why would he ever take a loan? Why would he ever take a mashkon, rather? And the Gemara answers, Lezichron Dvarim Ba'alma. The bank's holding on to the watch just as a reminder that they owe us money. But Einach Hanami, if Shmita comes and he hasn't paid up, Einach Hanami, it would wipe out the entire loan unless you have a mashkon that's worth exactly the amount of the outstanding loan. Hajin alach shivua sadayim. Let's run through the Mishnah quickly. The Mishnah says now, the new parak, we'll run through it quickly again. Kol nishbar nishbar Torah nishbar v'lo mashalman. The every case of a shvua in the Torah, a person takes a shvua and he doesn't pay. It's a way of getting off the hook. It's a way of exempting a person from ever having to pay. But elu nishbarn v'nolin, but there are those that the Chachamim instituted that you have to take a shvua in order to take. Meaning in a Torah, it's always to exempt you. The Chachamim created situations where you could take a shvua in order to collect. What are those examples? Hasachir, the hired worker. Hanigza, one who's stolen from. Hanichba, one who's hit. Who shekenegdo chashad al shvua, where the opposite person who should be taking a shvua is, we suspect he's a liar. And chenvani al pinkaso, and a store owner in terms of his outstanding tab he wants to collect from his customers. The Gemara explains one by one. So firstly, the Mishnah says, Hasachir keita, what's the case of a hired worker where he takes a shvua to take with notlin? Amar lo, tainli schari, pay me back my the money you owe me. Sheishli biyadcha. Hu omer nasati, I already paid you, the employer said. Hala omer lo natalti, I didn't take anything yet. Hey, what are you talking about? You confused me with a different employee. Hu nishva v'notel, he's allowed to take a shrua in order to collect his money. The Gemara is going to explain all these cases. We're just going to read through the Mishnah. That's all today. Rabbi Huda argues, Rabbi Huda Omer, ad shetehei sham miktas hoda, until, no, he actually doesn't take a shvu unless there's a partial admission as well. Ketad, Amr lo, tein li schari, pay me back the chamishim dinar, sheyesh libyatcha, give me the 50 dinar you owe me. Hu Omer, hiskabalta dinar zav, you already accepted dinar zav, which is 25 dinar, I already paid you half of that. So in that case, he takes a shvua modeb miksas. But if he denies everything, there would not be a shvua at all, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Next case in the Mishnah, nigzal keita. What's the case where the nigzal, the guy stole from me, I need to take a shvua to take my money back? How you made him osa shenichnas abeis ol mashkano? They testified that Reuven went into my property to take something out of my house. Shelo b'shus, without any permission. I never granted him permission to go into my house to take something. Hu omer kilai natalti. Yeah, you took my kelim. I was just going to retrieve the shirt that you never returned back to me. Vu omer lo natalti, I didn't take anything. So hu nishba v'notel, he takes a shvua. The nigzal says, okay, I swear you took something of mine, and he's able to collect as shvua nishban v'notlin. Rabbi Huda again comes along and says, Omer, ad shetehei sham miktas hoda, you only take a shvua if there's a partial admission. Ketzad? Amar lo shnei kelim natalti, he says, you took two of my kelim. Hu omer lo natalti ela echad, I only took one. In that case, you make the shvua v'notlin. And then the final case that we'll do today, at least in the Mishnah, is Nechbal, person who gets hit. Keita, what's the case where you take a shvua to take the money you're owed for being hit? Hayum Eidin also Shiniklas Tachas Yado Shalim. We saw two guys said, we saw him go into your house. He was completely unscathed. But Vyatza, he walked out Chavali. He walked out beaten up with a cut all over his face. Amarlo Chavaltabi, that's because you hit me. You owe me money for beating me up. Hu Amar Lo Chavalti, I didn't hit you. What are you talking about? Something else happened to you. It wasn't me. You fell down. Hareza Nishwa Venotel, so the Nichba in this case is allowed to take a shvua to collect what he thinks he's owed to him. But again, Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, Omer, ad shetei sham miktas hoda, there has to be a partial admission. Ketad, Amar lo chavalti bishtam, you hit me two times, you gave me two cuts. V'hala Omer lo chavalti b'chayel achas, I only gave you one cut, the other one I didn't do to you. So in this case, it would be shvua modu miktas, and that would be a case of Nishba'in Venotel. Okay, we'll finish the Mishnah tomorrow.